This is a Pivotal Conversations podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Girl Fit Method podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Wakefield, and I am here to help you take charge of your health, get empowered, and ultimately become the best version of yourself. Let's go. Hello and welcome back to the Girl Fit Method podcast. On today's podcast episode, I have a very special guest with me. Oh, okay. We have Sinead Hegarty. Oh,
yes.
I get it right.
Yeah.
Oh, yay. Bravo to me.
It's a little bit of Irish names, gal. Don't worry.
Oh, they get me. But that was, I thought it was pretty good.
Proud of you.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. You are a very interesting person that has done quite a lot, actually, considering you're only like really pretty young. And I'm super excited for our listeners to get to know you a little bit more. So I'm going to kind of just handball it over to you. Give us your elevator pitch of who you are.
Oh my God, this is so hard. People always ask me this on podcasts. I'm like, wow, okay. So my name is Sinead Hegarty. And okay, where do I begin? I don't even know. Okay. So I think my journey really began from, you know, if you talk about in terms of like Instagram, social media, all the growth sort of happened. Like I went through a bit of a really hard breakup that took me down a really, really dark path. And in that dark path, I ended up going traveling on my own. And when I went traveling on my own, that's when I started to gain on my followers, because I was very honest, very vulnerable. Like I was supposed to go with him, and then all that stuff happened. Anyway, gained a lot of followers because I was just honestly going through heartbreak and I had no one to talk to. So I was talking to my Instagram stories, and then that ended up just being like where I kind of grew my social media. Fast forward, I caught myself in a little bit of bad mental health, and you know, because of the breakup, to be honest, it could have been anything that happened to me at that point. It was just general not having any tools to deal with anything that life threw at me. So when that kind of was threw at me and I was sort of left in Australia with no boyfriend, no job, like no money, I kind of went down like a bad sort of mental health battle, and then started studying, reading books, meditating, getting into self-development, and studied a bit of psychology, human behavior, meditation, all these things, and was absolutely flabbergasted that we don't learn any of these skills in school, because at the end of the day, like life has some crazy up and downs, and I feel like we're never really taught to deal with that or have any resilience towards that. Like, you know, like we're going to get heartbroken, we're going to lose jobs, we're going to like have recessions, and we need to have the tools to deal with it. So like my pure passion comes from me being in that dark hole, pulling myself out of it through my own education, and me really wanting that education for other people. And that's when I found things like meditation, which is now I am, what I'll say now is like, I'm probably mostly, I have an online wellness education platform, and we deal mostly with meditation. So we have loads of different meditations for all different types of people. And meditation was something that I've been learning for years and years and years, but it's also taught in a very old style way that people can't really implement it into things because people don't want to stick at it. So I felt like it was my job to modernize it, make it cool, make it interesting, make it fun, and also have a different meditation for people every single day as well, so that they can be excited about going into finding themselves within meditation. So yeah, I went and then I did that. I have a jewelry business called Tranquility, which also deals, everything's kind of mindful mental health based. So my jewelry is all for if you're nervous, they all twist and spin. I have a podcast where I talk about all things relation. I'm crazy about relationships as well. I'm a relationship coach as well. But yeah, like what else do I do? Yeah. NLP, hypnotherapy. I don't know. There's lots. You could probably ask and I'll be like, okay, here's some more. But yeah, my identity is pretty much wide open, to be honest.
Amazing. Oh, there's lots that you're doing there. And I love the fact that this is really true, I think, for most people, is out of our darkest moments, usually there is something birthed that we can either choose to view a really hard season in our life as the catalyst for change and growth. And that can absolutely take us in a new direction and a new path and opens doors to something so much better than we thought we were, thought that what we, I suppose, wanted in the first place. Or it can destroy us. And from that, what I've seen is that you really realized that it was an opportunity. You know, when you're as low as you possibly can be, really the only direction is up, and finding the tools yourself to be able to get yourself out of that situation and being able to give back is really amazing. So well done. I think people underestimate, I guess, like when you're in a healthy relationship or you're not going through a breakup, you think, oh yeah, like breakups are hard, but you forget how incredibly difficult they are until you're in one. And it is all consuming. And in that moment, you feel like you are never going to be the same human again. You're never going to be able to get over that person. And it is such a beautiful thing once you get to that point where you start to realize that, whether it's you start to lose feelings for that person or you just begin to heal throughout that process, that the world is just open to so many options and so many possibilities. It's actually a really, really exciting time, but it's getting past that initial hurt and that really, oh gosh, it depends on how long the relationship is, but the first, you know, like probably like 3 to 6 months is really incredibly difficult. I want to know, just delving into that, and we're going to have the conversation today we're going to have is going to focus more so on, I guess, body image and your journey with your body. But I just want to quickly touch on going back to the breakup and that time that you found really difficult where your mental health maybe spiraled. What did you find was your coping mechanisms that you just went to subconsciously?
I think for me, when I broke up with someone, or when someone broke up with me, or but to be honest, anything could have happened at that point. But because I just didn't have any tools, like everything was my fault. Everything was an attack on me. And I let my mind be infested by negative thoughts. And they just overtook my whole brain. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I should have given him this. I should have given him that. When in fact, it's never actually about me at all. It's about like where two people are in their lives, what values they have, and, you know, insecurity within the relationship. Like, I think when people focus highly on it's me, I should have changed, I should have did something different, that is when the mental health can really, really deteriorate, because you're just wanting to get out of your own body. You just want to be a completely different person, when in fact that's not true. Like, the person that you're supposed to be with will never leave you, and the person that you're supposed to be with will never do these things wrong to you or break up with you. So I think when I realized that and like understood the human behavior of why people cheat or why people do what they do, then it's easier to come to terms with the breakup not being because you are who you are. So yeah, I think honestly the things that really, really pulled me out was honestly reading books really helped. Like, there's a book called Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. There's a book called Lost Connections, and also like bringing complete awareness to my state. Like, the worst thing you can do is not accept it and think you're going to get back. All right. So there's a difference between pain and suffering. Like, pain is feeling the pain, grieving, understanding it's a new process. Whereas suffering is not accepting that pain. So like, I feel like I didn't accept what was happening in front of me. And a lot of people really, even you said there, people take 3 to 6 months. There is people that still are not over their partners within years and years and years because they have not accepted it. They truly feel like this person is the one. And that's the wrong way to think about it, because people really do feel like that when they break up. Like, I can't be with anyone else because this person is the one. They are my soulmate. Like, and I think I went down that road as well. And then you realize that like, that is just your feelings. That's not their feelings. And yeah, you want to be with someone who treats you the way you treat. So I think understanding the human behavior was my number one. And then obviously things like meditation, because in the mix of everything, I became, and basically have an insomnia. Like, I had no, I could not sleep, and my heart was beating a million miles per hour all the time because I wasn't addressing what was happening. I was really just pitting it right down. So when I addressed it and realized I'm not sleeping, and when you're not sleeping, nothing is functioning, nothing is working, your mind is in overdrive, you can't focus, everything is just crazy. So when I addressed my sleep as well, that was something that really, really helped me. And obviously meditation was something that absolutely 100% saved my life. You know, because inside meditation, you realize you learn how to love yourself instead of focusing all your happiness onto that one person. Because I feel like I was just focusing on happiness. Like, he was the only thing that made me happy. Mm-hmm. I was someone's girlfriend. That was my identity. But then when I realized that I could love myself and that I can give myself my own happiness and my own validation, then like everything started to melt away, I guess.
I was going to just touch on that when you were saying how people ruminate about that person being their person, that it's interesting that someone would do that when the other person is not choosing you. Yet we're stuck on somehow, whether it's we feel like we need to prove our worth to that person and so we don't want to let go, or whether we actually don't think that we're good enough to find somebody that's actually going to love us for who we are, like just who we are without anything, without really even particularly giving to that other person, someone that just loves us, you know, the way that we come. What's really interesting about that, and it's a really good segue, I'm going to have a chat now about body image, is that I feel like we do the exact same thing, and women do the exact same thing when it comes to the way that we look and the way that our body is that in order for us to feel okay within ourselves and to accept ourselves, we need to achieve X, Y, Z. We need to weigh a certain amount. We need to look a certain amount, and then we'll arrive at a place where we're happy, where we feel good enough, instead of learning to find happiness and contentment with where we're at currently. And it's the same kind of thing with relationships. We can look externally at all these things to fill that void within us, when in fact, just what you said was we should be the only ones to be our own cheerleader, but also to bring ourselves true contentment and happiness, not these external things, not relationships, not the amount of money that we earn, not the way that our body looks, but we get so caught up in that. So I'd love to know, let's dial back a little bit. Let's have a chat about when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
When do you remember the first instant that you became aware of your body and maybe started to critique the way that you look?
I used to do seasons in Spain, so I did like seasonal work there. And, you know, when you're working for 6 months every single day of the year and you're drinking a lot, you're partying a lot, like I would put on weight towards that period of my life. And I think that was kind of the first time that I was really aware. And you know what, like living in Spain, Spanish people, like they don't hide away from how they truly see you. They'd be like, oh, you put on weight, and like start touching you and whatever. But I feel like that was the first time I was really, really aware of my weight, because before, when I was younger, I actually don't remember feeling a certain way when I was young. But then growing up, like always seeing my mom and her family members always talk about their body, and then as I grew up, then when I put on like a little bit of weight, I had just remembered everyone's voices or something. It was just like, oh wow, this isn't good. Like is this not what I'm supposed to look like? And you know, it all, sometimes for me, the beliefs about your body can come down as far as that, like the way that your mom talks about her body, your aunties talk about your body. You know, like if you're speaking about your body in front of a child or in front of anyone who's impressionable, who can't rationalize, if you're saying, oh, my arm is really fat, or oh, like you are telling them that that's not okay. And also if you are talking about someone else's weight in front of an impressionable child, what are they going to think? If you say, oh, she's put on weight, they internalize that if they put on weight, people are going to talk about them, or they're not going to feel good, and it's not supposed to be good. When in fact, putting on weight and putting on weight, taking, or like, it's all part of like the life and seasons of the world. So it's like all these things. So I think that was kind of like my first instance of becoming really aware of my body, because I remember as soon as I put on weight, feeling like it wasn't accepted in my area.
Well, I guess what was modeled to you, like, was that it was important. I actually think this is how every single, and I mean, I'm going to talk about girls here, but I definitely think it does extend to boys as well. But for girls, we're not born really aware of the way that we look. We are told really from quite a young age, whether that be from the women in our lives, men in our lives, the TV, the radio, songs, the lot, that looks for a female is like incredibly important. Probably one of the highest values you can hold is someone as a female. If you're attractive, that's what we want, right? Like, I'm not saying that's correct, but that is a lot of what the messaging tells us. Absolutely. So then, you know, you're hearing, we kind of come into this world, just us and experiencing the world. And then we begin to hear these voices, which then become what we believe is the most important thing about us. And so the worst thing that can happen is that you don't fit into that ideal of what, you know, we deem as socially acceptable or the beauty standards that we are supposed to achieve. And for you, that was hearing your mum and your auntie talk about gaining weight. And so that's the worst thing that could happen. So you're getting comments as well from other people saying you've gained weight. And we associate that as being a negative. And I feel like that's how the cycle begins, especially when we're young, because we don't know a whole lot about ourselves. We're still kind of figuring out what we're good at, where our place is in the world. And acceptance is really important at that time. How old were you when you were doing that seasonal work in Spain?
I was about 18.
Yeah, so young.
Yeah. And like, I think I went through that cycle for, you know, I went through bad body image up until then. I started learning about body image and self-love and body beliefs up until like, I would say 2018 is when I finally drew the line with how, like, the bad behaviors that I was doing to my body. I think like a lot of us, a lot of our generation have had some sort of disordered eating in their way. Like mine was kind of, I mean, there was a different, there was a mix between eating one meal a day to binging. That was always like one or the other for a little while. And then I had a really bad binge one time where it really, really did damage to my stomach. And then after that binge, that was when I actually realized, because I didn't really realize I was binging. You know, I didn't realize that I was like secretly eating and stuff. Like it was like the only thing I felt like I had control of. And like the lack of awareness is where I was going wrong. Like once I brought awareness to what I was doing, and then I gained some education on actual nutrition, then that was when like everything changed the game. And that's, do you know what's crazy? What we are so missing is like, I had to get that information for myself as a, like when I became a PT, like I'm not a PT, I don't do that anymore, but obviously I got my diploma in that years ago. But when I got that, I was like, how do I not know how much calories I need and don't need to put on weight or lose weight? Like, how are these things not taught to you in school?
Yeah.
Like, they don't tell you that like you should be eating protein and carbs and all this stuff. They literally just, it was like complete lack of education that really turned me into, all we thought was like, we need to be skinny. So like we need to eat less, no carbs before marbs, like all those things that people used to say.
Yeah.
And that kind of led us down. It's a complete lack of education for a start. Cause once I got educated on it and realized I can, if I want to lose weight, here's the amount of calories I need. If I want to put on weight, here's the amount of calories that I need. Like it's a simple as that compared to like the what I was doing to myself. So yeah.
100%. I totally agree with you. I mean, we have like doctors come and work for us and they've learned more through at our program with us than going through medical school. They're just a lot of the a lot of nutritional advice will come from someone that's going to try to sell you something. And the diet industry, and I think it's improved now, to be honest with you, now that we have social media, there's a lot of people out there educating people and giving really great advice. But for years and years and years, what we were told was these extreme diets, whether that is eat less, move more, and you lose weight, whether that's, like you said, cutting out carbohydrates, fasting, all of these diets, which behind had a motivation to sell, right? And so you make someone feel terrible about themselves, you exploit those insecurities in themselves. And the more extreme something sounds as human beings, the more we think it's going to work. You know, like kind of touching on your meditation there where people are like, boring, don't want to do it. They don't want to stick at it and be consistent to see what the outcome could be, because sometimes it is boring. Sometimes, and for majority of things, it's the basics that we know actually work. However, getting quick results in any aspect usually means that we lose those results quite quickly. If we want to maintain a healthy, let's talk about like body image, but also weight, then that's going to take time and it's going to take consistency. But a lot of us don't really want to believe that. So if someone's selling us, hey, like there's this thing, you're eating this, this, and this, and that's what's causing you to not get to your end goal, cut it out and you'll get there. Awesome. That's why I haven't reached my end goal, rather than maybe let's just self-reflect and think, okay, have I been really consistent, or have I educated myself on what it is I need to eat in order to see results? Because you're right. As soon as you start to learn that, it all kind of makes sense. But I feel like, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, it is quite simple, right? We look at like if someone's wanting to lose weight, you need to be in a calorie deficit. We hear that all the time. If you want to gain muscle, you know, it's best to eat in a calorie surplus. You have 1.8 to 2.2 grams of protein per kilo of your goal body weight. Easy, easy, easy. Tick, tick, tick. When I think about, you know, the girls that we work with, and a lot of women still struggle with this idea of needing to restrict, or in this cycle of yo-yo dieting. The information is there, but they're not implementing that. And from my perspective, that really comes down to what's going on up here and our mindset. So when you made the shift and the transition over into sort of like educating yourself around nutrition, was there a transition period where, you know, you had to let go of old ideas and old beliefs, or was it kind of just like,
yeah,
you know, you woke up and it was all good to go and you changed?
Oh, no, I think as well, like I actually have a whole section on body beliefs as well in my meditation course. But when you're obviously, when I was meditating and doing body beliefs and like learning all this stuff together as one big concoction of self-love, when you're in a relaxed state as well, when you're meditating, right, you get someone into a relaxed state and then you bring them back to the first comments they ever remember about bodies and how the media portrayed them, you have to bring upon that, right? Because if you're in a lack of awareness of where you hold that belief of your body, because everyone wants abs, everyone wants ass, and everyone, no one knows where that comes from. Like, who made that decision? And it's all because of the beliefs that we have through how the media and how our society tell us how to look. So until you actually sit down with someone and say, this is where this came from, this, you wanting abs and a booty doesn't actually mean the perfect body. Somebody told you that somewhere, or you, that ingrained in you from beliefs somewhere in your life. So then when you actually look at the belief and be like, okay, why do I want to be this skinny, or why do I want to look like that? It's because of the way everything was perceived. And then when you look at that and go, then you sit in the meditation, you have them relax and they're chilled, and then you ask them, but is that true, that that is the perfect body? And whenever the answer is no, it's like bang, it's like a shift really, really hits you. And it's like, wow, okay, so this is what people say, but it's not actually true. You think about all the body shapes that were desirable over the years, like it's because society tells us one thing. So taking away that belief that my body has to be a certain way in order to be perfect, and realizing that that belief came from somewhere else, and it's not actually true that I should look a certain way, I have to look this way, or this is the perfect way, then it kind of did melt away all that. I mean, it takes time. It's not easy. There's like, you have to get rid of your beliefs about your body, because then that's when you finally accept your body. And also another great thing is like taking yourself out of your body and actually looking at another person. So sometimes in meditations, I get people to imagine their best friend are standing right in front of them. And when they're right in front of them, I say, okay, imagine your best friend complaining about their biggest insecurity. Just say it, like their skin, their body, whatever they're talking about, like parts of fat where they don't like, whatever. And I say to them, I'm like, but when you look at them, what do you see? You don't see them with their body. You don't see that part of the body that they're insecure about. You literally just see them. You just see them as a whole person. And like, you love them as a person. You don't love them because they have a certain body type or they have certain looks. So sometimes like taking themselves out of their own body, looking at someone and being like, you totally love and accept that person, flaws and all, even though flaws are man-made anyway, there's no such thing as flaws. Like, we manly made them. And also like looking at your partner. So sometimes I say, like, imagine your partner, like think of all your partner and how he feels or she feels about their insecurities. Let's just say they put on weight, or they're, do you know what I mean? You love it so much. Like, you could just squeeze all of them no matter what. And I'm like, look at yourself with those eyes. So it's like a lot of work between that, and then also going through a lot of body love stuff, because we're so quick to talk about all the negative things about our body. And it's mad, because if I say a negative thing about my body to you, you'd be like, what? Where? Like, that's crazy. And if you said it to me, I would be like, but then there's so much good in our body. So like in meditations and stuff that we do, like I will begin with the top of their head and be like, okay. So for example, people have their own, can design their own sort of body love journaling or meditation section that will help them with their love. So every single day, I'm always like, okay, choose one thing in your body that has helped you or that you like, or because you can say, let's just say, like, I hate my arms. I could be like, I hate my arms, but there's so much on my body that like is amazing. So if you've got long, luscious hair, you have more than I have because I don't have long, luscious hair. If you have nice skin, like a lot of people, like, you know, there's all different types. Some people have long eyelashes. Some people have nice lips, nice teeth, like some things, right? And then you need to like write them all down, including the functions of your body. So if you can smell and taste, there are people in this world that can't smell and taste. Mm. So you're focusing on all these other things within the meditation to help you give thanks to your body instead of tearing yourself apart. So if you can smell and taste, you can smell your favorite flowers, you can taste your favorite food, you can smell your mom's dinner. If you can see out your eyes, you can see your children growing up, you can see them playing. If you've got arms that work, you can hug your friends. If you've got feet that work, you can dance with your loved ones, go for a run, go for a walk. If like, and every day we go through the whole body to give thanks and love to everything it does for us all day, you know. So there's so much the body does that we don't thank it for. Like, it's digesting food all day, it's pulling blood out everywhere, it's just, it's an amazing function. But instead of focusing on what's on the outside of our flaws, like, we can focus like individually deeply into all the good things. And then once you start doing this every single day, it's like you rewire your subconscious and all those negative things just like drift away. But I think like the hardest thing that I would say that it was body acceptance is the hardest bit, because you can love all your body, but then you can have this whole situation where you can't accept it. But I think when I started doing all those practices, started looking at my friends, started looking at other people and thinking, I never look at their body like that. I never criticize their body. So no one's criticizing mine. Mm-hmm. And like when I'm doing my retreats as well, the first thing I do on retreats, because this is a meditation retreat, but those girls are obviously, it's a sunny country. If they're in bikinis, I know how they're feeling before they get on that holiday. And I know how I feel, used to feel before I did that. I take them to the beach. I get into my bikini. And when I'm in the bikini, I go, does anyone care what I look like? Does anyone care? Because when people look at me and they go, nobody cares. Like, they don't care. I'm like, no one cares as well. So like, you can take your bikini off, and then they start to take their bikini on as well. And no one cares what I look like. Do you know what I mean? Like, they love me for who I am. They want to be around me. It's not about my body. So sometimes we're internalized about our body. So I think all those little things helped me so much to accept my body.
So, yeah, this
what
this,
was your what would you what would have been your big breakthrough for self-acceptance?
So for me, what I realized was that I place the majority of my importance on my exterior for a few different reasons. Mm-hmm. Quite similar to you, my mom probably placed a lot of value on the way that she looked subconsciously. She was a great mom and was amazing in so many ways, but I think quite consistent for the majority of women, probably of that generation as well, to also be really focused on that. And so you do pick up on that subconsciously. I didn't see the value in who I was as a person. I remember thinking the way that I looked was potentially the only good thing about me. I didn't think there was anything good about me. I didn't think I was particularly smart. I didn't think I was particularly talented. I couldn't understand, or I was so fearful that I wouldn't get accepted because I didn't know what people saw in me. I felt like I was a fraud. Like, when people got to actually know the real me, they'd be like, oh, Tash, she's a loser. And it makes me so sad to think that now, but I didn't have any self-confidence. And so the only thing that I could control was my exterior, right? I can control how much I weigh. I can control what I look like, my makeup, like how nice I dress. And then from that became my everything and my focus. So therefore,
because you probably got a lot of validation as well, because you're 100%. So beautiful as well. So 100%. Like, that was where you got your worth, I guess. And you were just clinging to it. Yeah.
And you know what? You do. And that's the hard bit, is that it is valued. Like, if we're going to be completely honest, the way that a female looks, if you want to have some kind of status, the more attractive you are, the more that you fit into society's norms, life is somewhat easier in some ways. Like, I think it would be silly for us to go, no, it's not. Everyone sees you for who you are. It's not. Like, we're very people can be incredibly vain and we can be visual creatures. And I think if we can accept that and go, all right, it is what it is, right? For me, what I had to do was the hard work, and that was I needed to sit back and I realized that I was completely miserable. I was so obsessed with the way that I looked, and that was my driving force in my life, but it was making me sad, and in turn, I wasn't actually living life.
To be honest, I used to be like this as well, but another thing about this is that I feel like I was like this, and then what happens is you cannot rely on your looks and your body forever to get your validation. You have to search inner. Like when I was diagnosed with endometriosis, like my body was kind of like fucked up for a while because I had not been diagnosed and I didn't know how to treat it, what was going on. And my body was just gone for me. I just felt like, and I had to separate it from it. And that really helped me again with my body image, which is crazy because like, imagine having to get a disease in order to feel like you're like worthy in yourself. But you know, I have friends like this as well. And then whenever things happen, like if they, you know, lose weight or put on weight or whatever, or they get pregnant, it's like they're really, really down about it because their whole worth is on how they look. Yeah. So that's why it needs to, yeah. It's and not like, so how did you get through that?
Yeah, well, that's a really great point because every single person gets old and they get ugly. And so you can't compete. You get to an age where you're like, there's always someone better looking, always someone younger, someone hotter. And so if you are so focused on keeping the status of being someone that's super attractive, you're going to be disappointed at some point.
Yeah.
You really want to hope there's more substance to you that people would want to be around you more than just the way that you look. But really great point that you've raised there. So for me, it was actually falling pregnant. It was having my baby.
Yes, I was thinking you were going to say that because you did say you had a child. And I was thinking, I bet you it was that.
It was amazing. So I remember I found pregnancy really difficult with all the changes in my body. After I had Sunny, I remember the day that I gave birth and it was all the hormones, but I was on cloud nine. I just looked at myself and I thought, I am the absolute shit. Like, I can't believe I have just given birth to this little kid. Like, I remember being in the war, just being like, this is my baby. Like, I just gave birth. Like, this is my kid. I just was so proud of myself and it had zero to do with the way that I looked.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about that, and this is the game changer, I believe, and it was for me, and I really try to preach this to all of my girls, is that true contentment, true happiness and fulfillment within yourself comes from giving. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me accumulating, reaching this status, looking a certain way. It comes from living your purpose and leaving a good legacy. And through that, I was able to shift my focus. So now my focus wasn't on me. My focus was on this little human being that needed me. And so I wasn't in my head all the time. From that, I realized, hey, like, I'm caring, I'm kind, I can be selfless. And I liked that about myself. And so from there, I started to really actually learn about who I was. And then eventually I built the company that I have now purely from the fact that I had this transition and I had this complete shift in my mindset that brought me so much joy. And for the first time in my life, I began to like myself and I began to, instead of focusing so much on going to the gym, and there's nothing wrong with any of that, but I began to focus on building my character, but also giving back. And that's really where true happiness and contentment comes from. So that was my story.
I love that because it just shows like, it's like even similar to the breakup, it's like all the worth is on something else. So at any point it could be taken away. Mm-hmm. So you have to find it from within your own self in order to feel worthy. Because if you just depend on all these external sources, it's so, so unstable because anyone can take it away. Like if it's your body, it can be taken away. If it's a boyfriend, it can be taken away. If it's your job, your career, it depends like where you place your worth. And like you obviously placed your worth there. I definitely placed my worth there as well for a long period of time. And then having endometriosis just took me away from that, you know, as well. So I feel like sometimes those things happen and it's like this major, major change. And it's so good to hear that when you get pregnant, like you have this new identity and new self. And also giving is living. Like honestly, it's the best thing you can ever do. There's a great book. What's it called? The Go-Giver.
I've read that.
Yeah, it's a good book. It's like it's about business and how to like just be better in business, but it's basically all about like everything is about giving, you know. And when I think about all the pinnacle moments in my career and everything, it's all like giving to charity, helping people with their meditation, helping people change their lives. Like it's never like what I got from that.
Yes.
As you said, accumulating.
And that's really what love is. Like I think when there's conditions and when there's strings attached, that's not true love. When you can really give without expecting anything in return, the joy comes from you being able to see someone succeed or someone improve their life in some capacity. And that brings about this energy where it almost is like we're thinking about playing a game. If we think of like we're tallying up and maybe the points that we're getting are like improvements in the way that we see ourselves or our self-confidence, the more that you give, it's like the more you get. And so this is building up, and it's also reinforcing to you that you've got a purpose. And I think every single human being needs to feel like they have a purpose. They bring something to the world. And if you think all you bring to the world is a nice face and a nice body, that is so incredibly fleeting and also incredibly shallow and actually won't really give you the satisfaction you're after. I think ultimately as well, it comes down to where your identity lies. And if your identity lies in the hot person or the person that has the really good body, then like you're saying, something happens and that's taken away, and it will get taken away at some point. You won't have that forever. Then who are you? And I think that's the question. And that's what girls really need to work on. You get that, then the exterior doesn't become a focus. And like, I know that you'd be able to back me up on this. How incredibly freeing is it?
It's so freeing. And like, it's literally the best feeling in the world whenever you know you can go somewhere and just, and like, even when I was in that stage of my body was like who I was, I remember if I had put on weight or anything that I did not want to see anybody. I didn't want to see my friends. I remember like come back from Spain and people come see me. But even if I was going to see them, I would have to tell them, by the way, I was just so, because I just felt like they knew me as like this person who was like fit and whatever. So that feeling now is completely gone, because when you fully accept yourself, like putting on weight at Christmas or when you're on a holiday is, who cares?
Yeah.
Like it's just normal and you just don't care, and you can go about the beach and do whatever you need to do and you can feel totally accepted. It's so amazing. It's literally the best feeling ever. And I remember not even being able, if I put on weight, coming on my stories and like, you know, just not putting up the photos and pictures. But now it's just like, who cares? And also people really appreciate when you put up like who you really are.
Yeah.
You know, and like if I had like a cellulite in a photo, I wouldn't have put it up. Now I'm just like, who cares? Like I love when I see people put up anything. So it's like who they truly are. I'm just like, put it up.
Yeah. And also when it's not your focus, you actually, when you say like, who cares? Like you don't actually care. You're not, it's not even a thought in your mind. And I know like for you, this would have been the case. I remember like when I would put on an outfit and I was feeling like bloated or something, it would ruin my day. If I thought I looked bad, or if I jumped on the scale and I saw the number jump up, it would ruin my entire day. Where now it's not even a thought. Like I actually couldn't give a shit. Like truly.
And but how can we get there? We need to tell the listeners like what is the steps to get there?
Well, but that's the thing. It's there is no quick fix. It's exactly what you've been saying. It's doing the hard work. It's, you know, for you, what was completely transformative, and I know for all of the women that you've helped or people that you've helped, is that meditating, and it's that becoming, showing almost gratitude for your body. So instead of seeing your body as this thing that needs to be accepted, it's actually the vessel that you have to live your life, to live your purpose. You shift it, you shift your mentality to that and everything changes. But that doesn't come overnight, because there are thoughts that you have thought year in, year out, year in, year out. There's this seed in your brain, these beliefs around how important it is that you look a certain way in order to be loved. And that's going to take time to undo. And that's about challenging those thoughts. And instead of racing to the next diet, thinking if I lose these 5 kilos, that's when I'm going to be happy. No, it's going to be, all right, who am I? How can I give back? And let's start to do the deep work.
Yeah. And like, if people are obviously in that change as well, like it's sometimes can be difficult. Like, you know, like for me, obviously I work out, I go to the gym, and then like there's always this struggle of like, am I working out for me? Am I working out for other people? But like now I work out because I just want to work out and I just want to get stronger and I want to focus on performance. Whilst when I was in that state of like bad body image, it was just like panic mode. Every time I was in the gym, it was like, I need to sweat. I was like put my body under so much pressure. And then like now I just go to the gym for performance. That's why I think like changing up my my workouts as well really, really helped me. I feel like going into like more not competitive, but like going into like the likes of CrossFit and stuff like really helped me with like that transition. But now I'm back to like working out like sort of, how do you work out? Sorry.
Lift resistance training majority.
Yeah. So I've kind of back to my resistance training now after like years of CrossFit. And because my mentality back then when I was doing resistance training compared to now, like I'm just in there enjoying my thing. Whilst before it was all about like what my body looked like, my composition, everything. And now it's like, just enjoying the process, I guess.
That was the driver for you. Had like exercise and nutrition is like the only reason you're eating what you're eating or working out the way that you're working out is to look a certain way.
Yeah.
Rather than it to be for feeling good, like your mental health, longevity, strength. I think a really good way to question or to reflect on why you're making the decisions that you're making in regards to your nutrition and your training is that when we have a good mindset, when we're in a good mindset, we have peace. And so the decisions that you make around nutrition and training, there is no need to rush. When you're in a really bad mindset, you want to escape that mindset as quickly as you possibly can. And so you're going to take steps towards your nutrition and your training from a place of get me out of here as quickly as possible. Please, I need to lose this weight because I feel terrible about myself. I need to exercise as much as possible because I hate myself. Look, to wrap up this conversation, I've had the best time chatting with you. I'd love our listeners to know where they can find out more about how you can help them. You've referenced a lot about your online wellness hub. Tell us a little bit about that and where the best place is to catch you.
So I have a company called The Brave Way, which is online wellness. It's basically meditation programs and courses. We have a membership site, which is like $12.99 a month. And then we also have the Finding Yourself course, which is a 21-day meditation course full of interesting, very, very uniquely written meditations that will help you find yourself and help you uncover those beliefs that we were talking about as well. You can find that on The Brave Way Instagram or thebraveway.co. And my Instagram is Sinead Haig.
Beautiful. I'll have that all linked in our show notes as well. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've really appreciated your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure.